I would assume Andy Greeter joins from the Pioneer Press, covering Saloons, Golden Gopher football, Golden Gopher hoops. Andy, how you been? Hello?
Hold on, just a little trouble with the phones here. One second.
Oh.
Tap dance, my friend, tap dance.
All right, we'll tap dance. 21 minutes now in front of 5 o'clock. You already heard about the Vikes. Twins later in San Diego. And an unusual start time, San Diego time. I'm still trying to wrap my arms around this. I heard this last night on the postgame show, driving home from the state amateur baseball tournament down at Joe Schlepper Field in Shakopee. Twins and Padres get started at 7:40 our time. So that means pregame show at 7 straight up our time. But that means it's a 5:40 start in San Diego. I wonder why. So anyway, Twins and Padres tonight. Kramer on the mound for the Twins. Mize for the Padres. San Diego 1-1. Andy does join. Andy Greeter of the Pioneer Press covers the Loons and Golden Gopher football. First and foremost, Loons in action later tonight. San Jose.
Yeah, I think that's kind of beside the point with what's on with them this week. You know, their sporting director, Khalid El-Ahmad, has jumped ship with 2 weeks left in the transfer window to take the same job at Austin FC. This club is winless in 9 MLS games. The transfer window closes in 2 weeks. They've only done a little bit of business, and now their number two sporting director has to step into that role. So tonight's game is one thing, but this club has been in disarray for this entire week.
Yeah, and Andy, you know, the club has had good support. Allianz Field is well thought of. They have gone deep in the MLS playoffs, and now there is a concern about the commitment to spend, the commitment to bring players in, and a fair amount of turmoil on the sporting side or the team side, and turnover on the business side as well.
Yeah, so their sporting director, like I said, Khalid El-Ahmad, yep, is leaving to Austin. The coach that he initially hired, Eric Ramsey, left in January, a few days before the season started. Khalid wants to play a bit more forward attacking style, and his next hire, Cameron Knowles, is trying to do that, but doesn't quite have the pieces to be able to do it. He doesn't have the goal scoring to do it. He lacks the possession element of it, and he's trying to do what his former boss wanted to do, even though they were more suited to play a defensive style. And that's why you're seeing this team winless in 9 games outside of the playoff picture and in need of reinforcements. But there have been a couple of signings, but they're not the kind of impact signings that this club needs to be making right now.
Yeah, and Andy, do you get a sense from ownership, and ultimately it starts and ends with the owner and a commitment and commitment to a plan. What are you hearing on that front? Because I would assume the supporters, Loon supporters, want to know what the plan is going forward.
Well, I think when your sporting director surprises everybody, yeah, most people within the organization, that he's leaving, I think you're caught a little flat-footed. There was talk that I heard over the last couple of weeks about a long-term plan with Khalid running the operation and trying to find incremental ways to get better every window. And now he is gone, and Hank Stebbins steps into the role, and I think they're kind of figuring out as they go.
Yeah. Andy, do you think the move to Austin is clearly budgetary? Bigger budget, better opportunity to bring in players and spend money?
That's a great question. You know, throughout my time working with Khalid, it didn't sound like spending was the issue that he saw with the team. But it's hard to think that it wouldn't be part of the dynamic, right? I think Austin, yeah, has shown over its time in MLS to spend more money. Obviously, we've got the schedule change coming up next winter, and as everybody knows, Austin has a much more agreeable climate to games over winter than Minnesota does. So I wonder if that's part of it. It's a difficult move to swallow for this team right now, as they are coming up on the tail end of the season and have to make up some ground in a hurry without additions right now coming in.
Yeah, and Andy, that schedule move, that has to be of great concern for Loon's management. Tickets, what the weather is going to be like for matches, et cetera, and really for all the northern clubs.
Absolutely. You know, Minnesota wanted to keep the schedule the way that it was because they know that their best time to get fans in the stands in St. Paul is when it's gorgeous like tonight, when it's gorgeous like it's going to be, you know, next week and as it is, you know, throughout the summer. It's a big concern for the team. I hear from fans often about if they're going to renew season tickets given that schedule change. Obviously, they're not going to be playing in the dead cold of winter, but obviously we know in Minnesota that winter starts and ends sooner and later than it does elsewhere. So it's a big concern for this club. And I remember something that Flip Saunders used to say about trying to get players to come to Minnesota and having to feel like he had to pay a tundra tax, he called it. Yeah. And that's certainly a situation that I think Minnesota United is going to be in as well.
All right. So turmoil with the Loons trying to get a win. And once again, San Jose late tonight. Golden Gopher football, it's coming up fast. Week from Thursday, Eastern Illinois at Huntington Bank Stadium, that traditional Thursday night start during the fair. What have you seen? What are maybe the things that stand out for you for this football team going into 2026?
Yeah, I think it's a team that has kind of set a standard as an 8-win outfit within the Big Ten. They finished in the top half the last couple of years. It looks like for a few practices that I've seen and what the roster was last year to this coming year, it looks like they can be in that mix again to finish in the top half of the league, which, like we've talked about previously, is a good thing given the low spending that they have in NIL and rev share compared to their Big Ten competition. I think Drake Lindsey has shown the signs that he can take the next step here this year. I think he had a great foundational year last year in his first start and his first time through the Big Ten, and now it's about, you know, finding his way into the top half of quarterbacks within the league. He's had really good days when I've seen him. He's had some inaccurate days when I've also seen him play. I think one of the big concerns on the offensive side is the right side of the offensive line. That was in transition. That struggled last year. It's been a transition this offseason, and I still kind of haven't seen enough from that to show that they can get the running game going like they say they want to. Defensively, I really like what I see on kind of all three levels over there. Obviously, they are losing Coy Parrish. That's going to be a stinger for them, but I think that's one of their deepest positions. They've shown over their time with Danny Collins as the defensive coordinator and position coach back there that he usually turns out some pretty good safeties that, you know, started before Coy was in this program. I think there's some position battles, some guys I like up front, like TJ Bush, a California transfer who has over 90 pressures over his career. That's a nice add to have him with Anthony Smith and what Carter Menz was able to do coming on last year. So I think defensively they should be solid, but there's a few question marks on the offensive side that I have through a few practices that I've seen.
Andy Grady joining us covers the Gophers and the Loons for the Pioneer Press and joins on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Mississippi State in game two, you got to worry about take care of business against Eastern Illinois. But then you get an SEC team in here for a mid-afternoon game, and that will be on CBS. That is a good opportunity for fans because I think sometimes there is criticism of the non-conference schedule, but there is no doubt you get a team out of the SEC in here. That's a pretty good deal for the fans.
Yeah, I think that they're going to be a much improved team from last year. They went 5-8, I think 1-7 in the SEC in Giletti's first year, but they went to a bowl game because other teams opted out, and they've got a dynamic quarterback in Kamarion Taylor that I think could be a problem. And obviously so much of this offseason has been about what the SEC is saying about the Big Ten, and the Big Ten saying, hey, look at the three rings we have from the last 3 years. You guys seem like you have a little bit of an inferiority complex with it. So, I think that's going to be a big test for the Gophers, just like the Cal game was last year. They obviously dropped that game in Berkeley a year ago, and that kind of showed where the ceiling was for that team. I think this Mississippi State game is going to have a very similar feel. Now to the kind of the all-conference critiques that the Gophers seem to find themselves in regularly. I think their schedule is usually right in line with what is happening. They usually schedule a Power 4 opponent. They usually schedule somebody out of the MAC, and they usually schedule somebody at the FCS level, and that's better than a lot of other teams are doing. A lot of other teams are doing a lot of Group of Five and FCS, and the Gophers are willing to put an SEC team on the schedule, put a Colorado, put a North Carolina, you know, like we talked about with Cal. They've got, you know, Alabama coming up in, I think, 4 years. So I think they get a lot of guff for not having the strongest non-conference schedule, but I think it's certainly adequate and better than actually a lot of other people as well.
Well, and I think in a competitive sports marketplace like this, they need to. If Mississippi State, I've heard of them. You know, that's going to move the meter a little bit, maybe sell some tickets over at the U. And you look, just final thought on this conference schedule, that there's some big challenges on the schedule this year in the Big Ten.
Yeah, you know, they've got Indiana again. This is the third straight year they've got the reigning national champion team on their schedule. That is unheard of, obviously, what the Big Ten has been able to do, and the Gophers getting the short end of the stick the year afterwards. So they've got that. They've got Michigan at home in the Big Ten home opener at the beginning of October. They have to go to Penn State and Happy Valley. That's obviously a very difficult place to play, but that team is in transition with a new coach in Matt Campbell. They go to Washington. I'm really selfishly looking forward to that one. My dad and brother are going to be on that trip, so that'll be a cool one to see Husky Stadium and sailgating and the Seattle environment. That's going to be a really fun one. And obviously Iowa and Wisconsin, are they ever going to get over the hump without what Hawkeye fans feel is an asterisk by the Gophers' one win in 23? Are they able to finally beat Kirk Ferentz in Minneapolis? We'll see that. And then obviously Wisconsin has kind of been the talked about team. There's a lot of buzz coming out of Madison. They're spending millions more than the Gophers on their roster. They don't have the gauntlet of a schedule. Are they going to finally be able to keep a quarterback healthy and be there at the end of the season for a Black Friday game? So there's obviously a lot of intrigue on the Gophers schedule and challenges, but, you know, that's life in the Big Ten.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Andy, always great. Thanks for the time.
Yep, thanks, Steve. Take care.
There he is, Andy Greeter, Pioneer Press, covers the Loons and Golden Gopher football and hoops. 8 minutes in front of five. Quick break. We'll come back. PGA Tour, BMW Championship, FedEx Cup playoffs. It's the Wyndham Clark Show and the U.S. Women's Open. The Senior Women's Open is underway. Some big names on that leaderboard. We'll get into that here on News Talk, 830 WCCO.